Okay, tonight's topic, we're going to start the topic of Ona'as Devarim. I say start it because it's going to take us a while. It's a pretty big sugya in the Gemara, and obviously, it's normally associated as a Musar topic. It's normally thought of as a Musar topic, and it is a tremendous amount of Musar. The approach we're going to take is a halachic one. We're going to try to look at it from a halachic point of view, and you don't have to look for the Musar. The Musar, it comes out on its own when you just learn what the halachos are of the way we have to speak to other people. But it's a big topic, and that's why it's going to have to be divided over the course of a couple of weeks. Tonight, I just want to read through the basic Gemara on the topic. I want to go through some broad issues relating to relative severity of Ona'as Devarim, let's say, versus other Isurim. And some possible exceptions where one is permitted, and there are very few and far between, but possible exceptions where one might either think he's permitted or actually is permitted to use to speak in a disrespectful way or to speak in a hurtful way is probably a better translation to other people. And then, if we still have time tonight, we'll then go through the list of people that Chazal identify as being extra sensitive and requiring an even higher level of sensitivity in interacting with them. And then next week, probably, we'll go through all the examples that Chazal give and that later Poskim give of Ona'as Devarim, and we'll see some of these examples we wouldn't even think of as being hurtful, but that's the sensitivity that Chazal approached things with. So first of all, this is not just something that isn't nice. Sometimes people refer to something as a mitzvah when it's not really a mitzvah. This actually is a mitzvah, Slo Sase, it is an Isser D'Oraisa. The Torah says, Vayikra Perek Chafei Pasuk Yezayin, V'losonu Ish Es Amiso. A person should not, Art Scroll translation, harass his fellow nation, fellow person from his nation. V'yareisa Melokecha, and you should fear God, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I am Hashem your God. A very unusual, not unusual, I shouldn't say it's unusual because it is somewhat normal, but it's there's always a message to it when you have V'yareisa Melokecha right after a mitzvah. Whenever the Torah says, don't do this, and by the way, remember to fear God. We're told enough times to fear God. We know to fear God. This is not talking about broad fearing of God. This is obviously something much more pointed, much more specific. So we're going to have to discover what that's all about as well. Now, the term ona'a, or losonu, does not necessarily mean to speak to someone in an insulting or hurtful way. After all, ona'a, in its typical use, in the Gemara, when we discuss in the Mishnayos, when we discuss ona'a, we talk about Ona'as mamon, overcharging somebody. If I know that I have a product that retails for $10 and I know I can get $20 off of this guy because a sucker is born every day and I feel like I could take advantage of him, so that's ona'a also. I was just on the phone with my mother. She's in Israel today. She's in Israel for the past couple of weeks, and as I was talking to her, she was trying to get a cab. And if you want to come up with an example of Ona'as Mamon, try getting a cab in Israel. I heard the conversation. I need to go to Ramat Eshkol. The cab driver said, Shishim Shekel. She said, Zelda Arbaim. He said, Okay, Arbaim. And she goes in for Arbaim Shekel. So that's Ona'a. He was willing to try. He would have been willing to charge. Probably if she wasn't American, she got it for cheaper also. But he was willing to charge that much more. That's what we normally associate with Ona'a. And Chazal, when they see this pasuk, Lo sonu ish es amiso, immediately the mind jumps to Ona'as Mamon, then it must be talking about overcharging monetarily. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia, it's one big sugya that goes from Bava Metzia Nun Ches Amud Beis to Nun Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Bava Metzia right away deals with this issue. Lo sonu ish es amiso, bo Ona'as Devarim hakasam medaber, atom rabo Ona'as Devarim ueno bo Ona'as Mamon. Are we talking about Ona'as Mamon here, or are we talking about Ona'as Devarim? So says the Gemara, no, there's another pasuk to tell us Ona'as Mamon, so it must be that over here we're talking about Ona'as Devarim. We're talking about, and again, we're going to translate it very loosely right now as hurtful speech. As we go through the examples and as we learn more and more, we're going to see that that translation needs to be refined considerably. It's not only hurtful speech. It's a much broader category than just speaking to someone in a disrespectful or hurtful way, right? But right now, that's just the best way to translate those two words, Ona'as Devarim. So says the Gemara, Haketzad. What are some examples of Ona'as Devarim? And here we're going to see a broad range of behaviors. Number one, Im Haya Bal Tshuva, Al Yomer Lo Zechar Ma'asecha Harishonim. If a person is a Bal Tshuva, Don't say to him, "Hey, remember when you used to eat at the treif restaurant? Remember when you used to?" You don't say that to a Baal Tshuva. You don't remind him of his earlier deeds. It's something that he's trying to get over, and he's trying to turn a new page in his life. And by going and saying, "Oh, I remember that guy when he was," you see a big Rav kind of came in from Eretz Yisrael a couple of years ago, and people were saying, "Yeah, I remember him when he was a public school in Florida. He was a public school kid in Florida. You know, I remember that." That's not something he wants to necessarily be reminded of. Sometimes it is. Sometimes he wants to use it as inspiration to inspire other people. Okay, you have to know the person, but typically you can't assume that a Baal Tshuva wants to be reminded of the time that they ate lobster. They're probably not so interested in being reminded about that. Number two, im haya ben gerim al yomer lo zechor ma'aseh avosecha. If someone is a ben gerim, don't say, "Wow, your grandfather was a Nazi?" Right? That's not something that's likely to endear you to him, and it's probably going to make him feel very bad and very hurt by his own past. Im haya ger ubalul mo Torah. If a guy was a ger himself, the last one was the case of a ben gerim. If a person is a ger, al yomer lo, don't say to him something like, "Pesha achal nevelus utreifos shkatzim urmasim balil matara shnemerim piyav gvura." That same mouth that ate pig and lobster and all sorts of creepy crawly things and all sorts of horrible, disgusting things is now going to learn the Torah that was given by the word of God. That, as if like in astonishment or amazement. That doesn't make him feel any better. So far, all have been insults or reminding people of things that they would rather forget. So don't bring up, if you know that there was something in this category, it would be if you know that there was an event that embarrassed somebody. So to constantly bring up that event, "Oh, remember that time that, something humiliating happened to you and everyone was laughing, wasn't that funny?" Well, it might have been funny for you, probably wasn't funny for the guy, and it's probably not funny to make the guy relive that time over and over again. So that's the first category. The Gemara doesn't break it up into categories, but we'll see it logically flows to break it up into categories. Category number two, im hayu yisurin ba'in alav. If a person was suffering from yisurin, he was suffering something terrible. Im hayu chalayim ba'in alav, or a person was ill. Oshah yim akaveres banav, or a person, rachmanu litzlan, had to bury his own children. Al yomar lo kederach sha'amru lo chaverov le'iov. Don't take a page out of the book of the friends of Eov when they told him, "Halo yirascha kasalta tikvascha v'tam derechecha zecharna mihu naki avad." Don't say, "Oh, must have been that you did a really bad avera, and God is punishing you for what you have done." It's probably not the best time to play Navi. It's never a good time to play Navi. Definitely not the best time to play Navi when someone is suffering, when someone is struggling. If you've ever been to a shiva house horrendous tragedy where someone Nebuch is covered as banavid without fail. You would think, why does the Gemara have to say this? Without fail, if you've been to these types of shiva houses, there's always one. There's an idiot in every village, and he finds the shiva house, and always. Well, it must be that you did this avera. It's because of this, and they start telling the avelim why this happened. And there's no more hurtful thing in the world than to hear that it was because of their averos that they did something wrong. And again, I'm just running through these now. Later on, probably next week, we're going to go through in great detail exactly how to be magdir, and we'll deal with conflicting sources on many of them. So just we're just running through the examples now. Next category, not when you're not playing Navi, next category is a practical joke. Im hayu chamarim vakshin tvua mimenu. If people are looking for grain, lo yomar lahem luchui etzal ploni shuhu mocher tvua. Don't say, "Oh, go to that guy, he sells grain." And really, he has an ice cream store or something. He doesn't sell anything even remotely similar to grain. V'yodeh bo shalom achar me'olam. So you have a guy who's not from around here, doesn't speak the language, and the guy is looking, "Where can I buy a pair of pants?" And you send him to the pizza shop. So you can go into the pizza shop and say, "Hi, I want to buy a pair of pants." And then the guy in the pizza shop will be all confused and embarrassed. The guy himself will realize that everyone's laughing at him. He's going to be embarrassed. "Ha, ha, ha, it's really funny for you. You sent him to ask the stupid question, and you wasted his time, you wasted the other fellow's time, and you embarrassed both of them." So that's not a good idea. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af lo yitla einav ala mekach b'shar shein lo damim. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only that, you shouldn't go shopping around in a store if you don't have any money to buy anything. If you can go around looking as if you're interested in buying something when you don't have any money to buy anything. And again, we're going to discuss in a little more detail. There are certain situations where it's sort of understood that people don't, like a gift shop at the end of a at the end of one of these one of these tourist places. You know, if you go on some sort of ride or something, and it leads you right into a gift shop. So everyone looks around, and some people buy, some people don't buy, but everyone looks around, and it's not, you know, they sort of forced you in there, so it's probably not, in that case, would not be raising the expectation of the merchant that you're actually going to buy something. But again, we'll discuss in greater detail later. Later. Sharei adavar masr lev, kol davar masr lev, nemar bo v'yareisim elokecha. And these things only you really know. I mean, if you're looking around, how. The storekeeper doesn't know if you really had money in your pocket and just decided that it wasn't high enough quality for you, or it wasn't a wise purchase for you, or if you didn't have money in your pocket and you never had any intention of buying and you were just pulling his leg the whole time. Storekeeper will never know. So that's why the pasuk says V'yareisim Elokecha, because God knows. God knows what our intentions really are, and therefore we have to live up to that standard. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Yochai, Gadol lo na'as dvarim na'as mamon. Now the Gemara makes a statement of the severity of ona'as mamon, of ona'as tvarim rather, that one would think, which is worse, to cheat someone, to make someone pay double the price that something is supposed to cost, or to speak in a hurtful manner towards somebody. Says the Gemara, speaking in a hurtful manner towards somebody is much worse. Why? The Gemara identifies three ways that it's worse. Number one, shezeh ne'emar bo v'yareisav me'elokecha, v'zeh lo ne'emar bo v'yareisav me'elokecha. That one says v'yareisim elokecha, the other one doesn't say v'yareisim elokecha. So what? What does that make it worse? Just because it says v'yareisim elokecha? So the Masha points out, no, what did we just say? Why does it say v'yareisim elokecha? It says v'yareisim elokecha because the only one that really knows if you're doing something that's called anas tevarim is you and God. No one else is going to know. The Gemara in Baba Kama tells us, whereas anas mamon, anyone can know. If you overcharge somebody, it's out there and people can know. It's not only between you and God, it's between you and everybody else as well. So the Marsha points to a very well-known Gemara in Baba Kama, where the Gemara in Baba Kama distinguishes between a ganav and a gazlan. Someone who steals in a, you know, at nighttime when no one is looking, and someone who steals in broad daylight, who's just so strong and such a thug that he doesn't think anyone could stop him anyway. So in broad daylight he goes and he steals. Which one is worse, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, well, let's take a look. The guy who steals in broad daylight shows that he has no regard for anything or anybody. He has no regard for mankind, he has no regard for God. He's going to go and he's going to steal. The guy who goes in the middle of the night shows that he's more scared of man than he is of God. So he has no regard for what God wants of him, what man wants of him, and what man expects of him. He has no ethic, but etiquette he has. Right? What man expects of him, what society expects of him, that he cares about. But he doesn't care about God. And that's the ultimate slap in the face of God. If you're stom a bad guy and you just don't care about anything, you have no ethics and no etiquette, so then fine, that's terrible. That's one level of terrible. But an even worse level of terrible is someone who shows, who demonstrates a greater concern for what man expects of him than for what God expects of him. Says the Marsha, it's the same thing over here. By Onas Mamon, you're out in the public. So you're just stam a bad guy. Stam a Russia that's going to overcharge and let it be known and everyone's going to find out about it. But by Onas Dvarim, since it's V'yareisim Elokecha, it's between you and God, and you still do it? So that shows that you wouldn't do it if, God forbid, anyone would know about it, but it's just you and God. So that, on a certain level, is a worse Avera. Okay, you could question the Marsha's analysis because there's a fundamental difference. By onas dvarim, you're not doing it in a private way because you care about man finding out about it. It's just the nature of the beast. It's just that when you're walking through a store, only you and God know if you have the money in your pocket. When you go out of your way to steal in the middle of the night, it's because you're afraid of man and you don't want man to know. So you could take issue with the Marsha's analysis. But either way, that's point one, why onas dvarim is worse than onas mamon. Point number two, Blazer Omer, zebegufo v'zebe mamono. Hurting someone's pocketbook is not nearly as bad as hurting them begufo. What does it mean, begufo? Goof normally we would assume would be associated with something physical. You're not physically hurting anybody that you insult, but it means you're getting him at who he is, right? You're getting him in his innermost feelings. That's what you're hurting. You're hurting him at his very sense of self-esteem, which is the ani of him. It's what he is. It's himself. And that's much worse than hurting someone's bottom line. Third reason onas dvarim is worse than onas mamon. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar, zeh nitan liyishavon v'zeh lo nitan liyishavon. You can always return money that you stole. You can't return dvarim. You can't return hurtful words. you could apologize. Yeah, but if we've been in that situation, we know that apologies go so far, and they do help, and it's good, and it's worthwhile to do, but it certainly doesn't erase the hurt, right? It doesn't erase the experience that the person has had through the hurtful words, right? If you have a kid, I spent my life in high school, so I've seen kids that get picked on a lot, by their classmates over and over and over again. And very often, by the time they're a little bit older, the seniors in the first year in Israel, they feel terrible and they go and they apologize to the kid. That's wonderful. It's good. They should apologize to the kid. But you think the kid's high school years became any better now? You think his self-esteem is any better for it because they apologized? Meaning, some of these things can scar a person in a very real way. So the apology is good, but it's not nitan lishavon. It certainly doesn't make it something that you can return. It doesn't make it returnable. Next, the Gemara goes on to say another example. Another example of anas tavarim. The Gemara goes on the top of the next page. I'm not going to read the whole Gemara inside because it is somewhat lengthy. And says that in even stronger terms now, the Gemara says that everyone who goes down to Gehenna comes back out of Gehenna, except for three who go down and never come out. And one of the people on the list, and we're going to have to discuss this in great detail later, is Mechane Shem Ra Lechavero, a person who makes up a not nice nickname for his friend. Right? Fatty, shorty, right? Ugly, I don't know, whatever. Someone who makes up a not nice nickname for somebody else, that's considered to be a very terrible level of an Anas Tevarim. Says the Gemara, wait a second. A second person on that list is Malbim Pnei Chaver Bram, someone who humiliates someone else publicly. So the Gemara says, isn't that the same? When you call someone a bad nickname, isn't that the same as humiliating them publicly? The Gemara says, no. Sometimes the nickname sticks. And the person's heard it 1,000 times. They don't even think twice when they hear it anymore. They identify themselves as fatty. Right? That's how they identify themselves. And it doesn't even hurt them anymore. But even so, to perpetuate such a nickname is a terrible thing. So we're going to have to discuss that in detail, and because there are a lot of nicknames that we call it. What about you just call someone by their last name? That's also a nickname, right? So we're going to have to get to that later on. Just again raising the issues. The Gemara goes on to say, "Amr Chana Brei Ravidi, Ma'idich Sivul Osanu Isha Samiso." Why does the pasuk say you should not harass Es Amiso? So we say, "Am sheitcha b'torah b'mitzvos al tanehu," specifically someone who's in your Torah and mitzvah community. Someone who's part of your nation in regards to Torah and mitzvos, you're not allowed to harass. And we're going to have to discuss the implications of that. What about people who aren't religious? What about non-Jews? And we're going to have to discuss what the Torah point of view of harassing verbally people like that. Then the Gemara goes on to say that when you make somebody cry, it's a very terrible thing. Says the Olam Yehei Adam Zahir Ba'onas Ishto. Person should be very careful about how they speak to their wives. Shemitoch Shedim Asa Metzuya Ona Asa Krova. Women cry more easily, and when people cry, Afal Pi Sheshari Tfila Ninalu Shari Dma'os Lo Ninalu. Even when God seals and closes the gates of Tfila, the gates of tears are never closed, and when someone cries, God can't ignore that. And he's not going to ignore the person who caused those tears. Good? I mean, not good, but says the Gemara Vayter, toward the end, Amr Rabbi Chelbo, La'olam yehi adam zayir b'kvod ishto. Not only that, not only should you be careful about the way you speak to your wife, always be careful about the way to honor your wife. Shein bracha mitzuya b'toch beso, shel adam ele b'shvil ishto. Because blessing only comes into a person's home because of his wife. Right, we owe the blessings of our homes to our wives, and therefore, if you're not going to be makbid on her kavod, you're not makbid on your own home and your own blessings, and everything that that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you is all through the woman of the house, is through the wife. Okay, that's the basic source of anas tavarim. That's the sugya. That's what the Gemara has to say. Now, the Mishnah Brura, interestingly, of all places, in Hilchos Shabbos and some Mishnah Mem Gimel, Mishnah Brura talks about the importance. The context is, people always think when something goes wrong on Shabbos, just get a kid to come fix it, right? Just get a kid to solve the problem. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about the halachos of training children in Hilchos Shabbos, whether at what stage you don't allow them to do melacha, and you certainly don't ask them to do melacha, etc. Right? The Shulchan Aruch talks about that. The Mishnah Berurah uses that as a springboard to talk about chinuch in general. And he says, we're mechanich a lot of times in mitzvos and in deeds and actions, But there's another very important level of chinuch that's really, if we ignore it at a young age, is going to be almost, it's going to become a train that's almost impossible to stop when a child gets older. And predictably, the Chafetz Chaim says, that's the way a child speaks. If a child is brought up to think that it's okay to speak Lashon Hara, and that it's okay to speak in a disrespectful way, and that it's okay to speak in a mean-spirited way, that's going to be something that is going to be very hard to shake them of later on. So even at the youngest ages, the Mishnah Berurah says, he says, "Ba'avonoseinu Rabim, kama nichshalim baze." What does he give before that? He says, "Upashut." If you hear your children, that they're speaking Lashon Hara, mitzvah ligor behem, you have to get angry at them. Show them anger. Now, one of the people that we're going to identify as people who you have to be very careful about the way you speak to are children, because children cry easily also, and those shari demos are not locked. Those gates of tears are open. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if there's ever a time to speak forcefully to a child, to speak to a child in a way that's where you show real anger, it's when a child himself is speaking in an inappropriate way. It's when the child himself is speaking Lashon Hara, when the child himself is engaged in Anos Tavarim, he's mocking somebody, he's making fun of somebody, that's where you say, you know, there are always things growing up in different homes, the children of the home know what is not stood for. You know, everyone has their own thing. Some homes, candy is off limits. Other homes, candy, whatever, breakfast, lunch, supper, whatever. Whenever you eat candy. You know, the other things that we're more worried about. Some homes is bedtime. Some homes, everyone has their own rules. So you can know, you can set the tone in a home of what is not tolerated. So the Mishnah is telling you what to do. He's telling you, when it comes to disrespectful speech, when it comes to Lashon Hara, the children in the house have to know that is not tolerated. You don't want your kids to see you just fly off the handle and go crazy too often. For that, it's worth it. To let them see that. Ulafrisha mizeh, you have to separate them from this. V'chein mimachlokas, and you have to stop them from arguing. V'sheker, and stop them from lying. Sometimes parents don't realize they encourage their children to lie. When they set the expectations so high that the children can't meet them, the children have no choice but to either disappoint or to lie. So the child often chooses the more obvious, you know, the easier of the two choices, which is to lie. It's much easier than disappointing. So we have to be careful not to train them to lie. Uklalos, and to curse other people. It's not talking about whatever, however many words, if there still are any, that you're not allowed to say on TV. Right? It's talking about to say bad things about other people, that this should happen to you and that should happen to you. So many people fail in this area. They let their kids talk all kinds of Lashon Hara, and they let them curse other people. And they become so used to that type of speech. Ultimately, they go off to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and they hear a Rebbe give a shmuz on Anas Devarim, and the Rebbe's going to say, it's a terrible Avera. And they're going to say, really? Okay, I better stop. But then, but he spent the last 18 years of his life speaking that way. Not so easy to just stop if you spent the last 18 years of your life speaking that way. He always thought it was mutter. You have to train a child based on his level, etc. Fine, then he gets back into his original topic. But the Mishnah Berurah makes a very strong statement that Onas Tevarim is one of those things where we have to put our foot down, where we have to be extremely strong in the chinuch of our children about Onas Tevarim. Now, the reason for Onas Tevarim, it's one of those things, you know, the Sefer HaChinuch gives a reason for each mitzvah, and some of them are like, you know, he really has to reach to come up with a reason for a mitzvah. But some of them are so obvious, so it's interesting. Some of the mitzvahs where the reasons are very, very difficult to understand and very difficult to really come up with, he'll spend a lot of time describing the reason for the mitzvah. And some of the mitzvahs where it's so obvious, he's not going to bother spending a lot of time because you could figure it out on your own. So Sefer HaChinuch gives you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves peace, he doesn't want people fighting and killing each other, so don't speak mean, right? Speak in a nice way. Pretty easy, pretty straightforward in terms of the reasons for the mitzvah. You should also realize that there are a lot of overlapping averos here, meaning Lashon Hara can also be Ona'as Tevarim. Right, if it gets back to the person and hurts the person, that's also Onas Tevarim. Onas Tevarim is not always Lashon Hara. Onas Tevarim can come in a lot of other forms. We saw in the Gemara. Right? It's considered Onas Tevarim when you're shopping in the store and you don't have any money. That's Onas Tevarim also. So it's not always overlapping. The Rashi on Chumash, on the Pasuk of Anas Dvarim, Rashi on Chumash says, don't give an Eitz HaRa'ah, don't give bad advice. But we know giving bad advice is also another Isser on Chumash. What's that? L'fnei Yiver lo siteh michshol, right? Is not to give, not to cause someone to do an Avera, nor to give someone bad advice. Right? So you see that there are a lot of overlapping Averos that you might be doing, meaning if someone, and which tells you two things. First of all, when someone does an Anas Dvarim, they're likely doing more than one Avera. And two, when someone thinks they found a loophole and they got around the Yisra of Anas Dvarim, they're likely doing another Avera. So it's very rare to actually come up with a situation where it's okay, even if you come up with some loophole of an Anas Dvarim is mutter, it's very, very unlikely that you're not doing some sort of Avera. The Pele Yoitz makes a big deal about people who speak all sort of horrible things about other people, and then they just say, yeah, it's just a joke. I'm just joking with him. He says the Ribbono Shel Olam has a special joke on these people in the end of the day, and it's not it's something, even jokes have to be taken very, very, we have to tread carefully, even when it comes to jokes. Now, also, just another quick ha'ara, the term Anas Dvarim, you know, when you translate the word Dvarim, you know, it's words, right? So we translate Anas Dvarim as hurtful speech. What if I didn't speak at all? So you have to realize the Torah didn't coin that phrase, Anas Dvarim. That's what Chazal used to describe as opposed to Anas Mamon. But it doesn't have to be with speech at all. You can make a mean face to somebody and it's called Anas Dvarim. Right? Meaning, and we know that just from the examples of the Gemara. The Gemara said, you're going shopping in the store, you don't say a word. And it's Anas Dvarim. Right? So it's the term, we shouldn't be thrown off by the term. That's why I said we have to refine the definition a little bit. It's not really hurtful speech, it's to hurt somebody. It's to, you know, act in a hurtful way towards somebody. Because again, Torah never uses such a language. Okay, let's go into what possible exceptions there might be to this Avera, this Isser Daraisa of Anas Dvarim. So there's an interesting Psak of the Ramah that appears in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in source number 10, so Shulchan Aruch says, K'shem shona b'mekach ha'memkar, kacho na b'dvarim, quoting the Lashon of the Mishnah, that just like we have ona'a on money, so too we have ona'a on words. U'gdol ona'a s'varim e'ona'as mamon, ona'a on words is even worse than ona'a on money. Shezen niton li shavon, v'zal lo niton li shavon, zeb gufa v'zeb mono, because one can be returned, one can't. One is on the guf, one is on the mamon. Notice which one he left out. He left out the v'yareis ha'melekecha part, which is interesting. V'hatzoek al ona'as t'varim nena miyad. And someone who cries out because someone has hurt them is answered immediately. Their prayers are answered immediately. Says the Ramah, v'yesh omrim, te'ein mitzuvan al ona'as t'varim elo li'yirei Hashem. Unbelievable. He says, you only have a problem of ona'as t'varim to people who are yirei Hashem, to yirei Shemayim. People who are not Yirei Shemayim, you don't have to worry about it. You can speak however you want. And then another halacha, even stranger. First one, he quoted from the Rimuka Yosef. Second one, Umi Shema Anes Atzmo Mutzul Lahonehu. And someone who himself humiliates himself, you're allowed to go and humiliate him. It's very counterintuitive, no? You think a person who humiliates himself is Nebuch. He has such low self-esteem. That, you know, some people, that's their sense of humor. They're constantly humiliating themselves. They're embarrassing themselves. So you would think you should perhaps be more sensitive and even build them up a little bit more. Right? But the Rama says no. The Rama says someone who humiliates himself, you're allowed to go and humiliate him. So, first of all, why? Both of these halachos. Why is it okay to do an Anas Dvarim towards someone who's not Yirei Shemayim? And two, why is it okay to do it towards someone who humiliates himself? And where did he get it from? Where did he learn these halachos? So the Sma tries to explain the idea of, let's say, the person who's not a Yirei Hashem. If you look in Source 11, it says, "Darsh midichsev l'sanu isha samiso, am shidcha b'toru b'mitzvos." It says straight from the Gemara. Rama got it from the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Who is the Yisra of Anah against people who observe Torah mitzvos?" So someone doesn't observe Torah mitzvos, there's no Yisra. That's why. The Rama says you're allowed to do it. Really straight from the Gemara. The Kasha now becomes, wow, straight from the Gemara. Why didn't the Shulchan Aruch say that? Why didn't the Rambam say it? That's not a halacha that's quoted in Rambam, it's not a halacha quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So there is a Ritva. And that Gemara, the Ritva says, Lo sonu ish es amiso, ze ishto. the Ritva says. So, first of all, it's difficult to fit into the words of the Gemara, because the Gemara says, Am she itcha b'torah b'mitzvahs. The Ritva, I'm sorry, he has a lashon, Lasanu ish esamiso, Am she itcha ze ishto. So it could be the Ritva just didn't have the girsa b'torah b'mitzvahs. He said, he understood that who do you have to be super careful not to humiliate, not to insult, ze ishto, your wife. But there's no special heter over here of just humiliating other people, right, who are not religious. So it could be that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch held like the Ritva, that there is no such heter, but it's difficult. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam don't quote it. It's a Beferish Gemara. So that's in terms of irreligious people. Now, does that apply nowadays? Yeah.
They're not saying that you could or you should.
Oh, certainly not encouraging it.
You're not
good, but isn't that even troubling halachically? Meaning,
that's why there's quoting the pasuk. The pasuk says, the pasuk is very specific.
Right. Well, right. The pasuk says amiso. The Gemara darshins amiso must mean someone's Torah mitzvahs also. Amiso could have just meant not a guy.
So he's saying it based on how the Gemara interprets the word amiso.
Right. Correct.
Well, the question is on the Gemara.
Right. In Echanami, the question is not on the Ramah, it's on the Gemara. Or it's on the Mechaber and the Rambam for not quoting the Gemara, right? Even though they're saying what we would think is more logical. So the Shevet HaLevi Rav Vosner has a tshuva where he says, you know, let's think about this for a second. What's the idea? Why is it that someone who's not a Yirei Hashem you're allowed to speak to in a not nice way? So he says that the idea is the Ramah puts these two halachas back to back because they're very much related to each other. So someone who humiliates himself and someone who is not a Yirei Hashem. He says, you need both. It's not saying that these are two separate halachos. It's one halacha. Someone who's not a Yirei Hashem and therefore humiliates himself constantly by acting in a way unbecoming of a Jew, you're allowed to speak to him in a hurtful way. Because he's a person who's constantly hurting himself. He's doing it to himself. He's calling negative attention upon himself. So says Rav Vosner, that's clearly talking about somebody who made a conscious decision to act in a way unbecoming of a Jew. And who made a conscious decision to go against what he knows to be the right thing to do, and he chose to push it aside and humiliate himself as a Jew. So such a person, there's such a heter that you can humiliate them. But says Rav Vosner, Atinuk Shenishva, a child who grew up in a non-religious home, and many of the Achronim suggest, not only is someone who grew up not religious nowadays have the status of a Tinuk Shenishba, but even people who grew up religious, with the amount of outside influences that we have in our lives nowadays, where the level of difficulty of remaining committed and raising children who remain committed is so much greater, that it could be that everybody who's not religious has a din of a Tinuk Shenishba, which is very sad and unfortunate, that they're tinoka shnishbu, but the bottom line is they're not someone who brings humiliation upon themselves, and therefore there would be no heter to speak to them in that way. That's what Rav Vosner suggests, that it can't be that in our societies that non-religious people can be spoken to in a hurtful way.
He reads that into the text. It doesn't look that way.
From the Ramah, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, you're right. Meaning, it looks like the Ramah is saying two totally separate things. Correct, yes. But that is how he tries to read it in. Now, let's assume it's two separate things for a second, and let's move on to the second of the two. People humiliate themselves. Well, what's the heter with that? So if you look in source 13, the Sma and Sifkat and Dalid suggest three possibilities. So his first possibility is that the Ramah got it a little bit wrong, that we're reading it wrong. That it's not someone who humiliates themselves, it means you're allowed to humiliate somebody who humiliates you. Not who humiliates themselves. Self-defense. Someone's going to come to you, scream at you, and humiliate you. Now, the best thing to do is not to say anything. That's always the best thing to do. But we're humans. And human beings have feelings. And like the Rambam has a Lashon in Hilchas Deos, when he talks about the Shvil HaZav, to be sort of on the middle path, he says you shouldn't be such a Bal Kasa, you get angry at everything. But you also shouldn't be someone who's Eino Margish, who's like a stone, who doesn't feel anything. And it's natural for a person to, when someone comes yelling at you and insulting you and saying terrible things about you, it's natural to respond. So says the Sma, possibility number one is that the Rama is not saying you're stam, allowed to go insult people who insult themselves. He's saying you're allowed to insult people who insult you. He may not be saying it in the Rama, but he's saying the source where the Rama gets it from really says that. That's one possibility. Then he says, nah, but it doesn't sound that way. Certainly not from the Lashon of the Rama, it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like we're talking about a guy who insults himself, that you're allowed to insult him. So what's the shot? So it says the Sma, a second possibility. Anyone who has no self-respect is not a Yirei Shemayim. That's pretty unbelievable, no? That having self-respect is a fundamental element of being a Yirei Shemayim. That if a person doesn't have a sense of self, doesn't believe that there is somebody, then they can't be a Yirei Shemayim. Why is that?
A lot of Bali Musa say just the opposite, that a true Yirei Shemayim is someone who doesn't care.
There's nothing, right? So it's, there are two schools of Musa, Anochi Afra Ve'efer versus Bishvili Nivra'ola, right? So this Sma is clearly on one side of that debate. Right? But why? What's the Svara? I can't be Yirei Shemayim unless I hold myself? So the Svara is very passionate, really. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Klal Yisrael is his nation, right? He's the Melech and he's the Av over Klal Yisrael. Well, the Melech is only as great as his people are, right? If you're the President of the United States, it's a pretty powerful position. If you're the President of your class in school, it's a less powerful position. If you're the President of your ant farm that you have in your backyard, so it's an even less powerful position, right? So the godless of the Melech, if you really hold the Melech to be something, is very much intertwined with the godless of the Am, that he's the Melech over. So if a person doesn't believe that he's anything, then it's an insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you mean you're not anything? You're my kid. How could you not be anything? So that's possibility number two. So such a person is not a Yirei Shemayim. A Simon Muvak, that someone's not a Yirei Shemayim, is someone who has no self-respect. He rejects that as well. He says, lo nirali, I don't think that's the correct pshat in the Rama. Dim kein lo havalei lichtov stam sheino kari amisecha, havalei lomar sheino b'tar b'mitzvos. It shouldn't have said eino kari amisecha, it should have just said, he's not b'tar b'mitzvos. So the Sma says the third pshat. He says, no, you know why someone who disrespects himself or humiliates himself, you're allowed to humiliate him? He says, Am she'itcha b'torah mitzvos, amisecha implies not only someone who observes Torah mitzvos, but someone who lives in normal society, someone who's a normal human being. He says, Elenira de kavanas ha'medrashi kipshuto. Kivan de'in derech b'nei adam lahonos adam es atzmo. It's totally abnormal for a person to insult themselves. Mishum hachi enu nekra misecha. Therefore, that person is not wholly a normal human being, a normal member of civilization. Someone like that is not a part of the yishuv, a part of a community, and part of normal derech eretz. And therefore, he doesn't have to be treated with societal norms. If a person takes himself out of societal norms and says, you know what, I'm not normal, I'm not going to be treated the way society treats human beings, so then don't treat him the way society treats human beings. All three are tremendous chidushim, but the Rama is a tremendous chidush. The Medrash gets it from his tremendous chidush. Very difficult to understand. Practically, obviously, we wouldn't, very often if people are humiliating themselves, there are deep psychological problems that need to be dealt with in a very sensitive way and not be dealt with by continuing to mock them and humiliate them in a public way. Another example of where it might be an exception is a Rebbe Talmud relationship. The Rambam says, Rambam Paskins, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Lo a kapton melamed, the Mishnah says, that someone who's a kapton, who's very makbar and everything, can't be a good Rebbe. He says that's only if someone gets frustrated when the children don't understand things. And he starts yelling at them when they don't understand something. Why don't they understand? Either they're not intelligent enough, or the depth of the material is too great. Perhaps he's not prepared to give it over in the clearest way. But he gets upset, because why don't you get it? That's a bad Rebbe. But he says, you know what a good Rebbe is? When the Talmidim aren't understanding something because they're being lazy, they're not living up to their potential, they're not doing what they should be doing, then he can fire them up a little bit. Now, this is something that's very foreign to us. You know, it's people who learned in yeshivas and litta know that this was the style back then. They would yell and scream at the bachur. The people who learned in Rav Soloveitchik Shir when he was younger, in his earlier years, they were terrified. It was mamash terror. They'd go into the shir room and they'd fight over the seat behind the pillar so that he wouldn't see them. And, you know, Rav Shechter would like sit in the front, and Rav Shechter would bend down to tie his shoes. Everyone right behind him bends down so that the Rav wouldn't see them. They were terrified of him. And if you said a svara that was a bad svara, a goya shikr! Right? He'd yell at them. That was the style. That was it, because he thought he can get more out of them that way. He did a lot of times. Nowadays, that's not the style so much. That's the style the Rambam recommends. Rambam says, if you feel that they're not living up to their potential, then a good Rebbe should be one who instills fear in the students. He says a Rebbe shouldn't laugh in front of the kids, shouldn't eat or drink in front of the kids. He should be Kemalach Hashem. Like a totally different kind of... That doesn't really work in America so much. Right? So we have to realize that we have to do what works, meaning the goal is the same. The goal is to get people to meet their potential and try to get them to live up to a high standard of learning and a high standard of living a Jewish life. But that the Rambam identifies as an exception. And the truth is, if you read through Gemaras, it's all over the place, right? Expressions like this, where people say the most insulting things. Right, the Gemara says, one Amora says to another, you're like a guy who has no brain in your skull. And on, right? All these insults just go on and on. But it's not an insult in the sense of an insult, it's trying to get more out of the person. Chavis Yair is a tshuva where he tries to brush over a lot of them and say, no, they sound like insults, they're not really insults. They probably really are insults, but we have to understand that it's a different society talking to a different kind of person. Okay, Bez Hashem, next time we'll continue with people that we need to be perhaps extra sensitive to, instead of those that we focused on tonight, where possible exceptions to the rule.
Well, if they knew that that was the reason why, they probably feel a little better. If they think that meant they had something to strive for, as opposed
right.
to thinking they're nothing.
Right.